الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama ikram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as Muslims, it is a prerequisite, it is a demand, it is a requirement of our iman that necessitates that each and every one of us should be extremely concerned and worried because of the pitiable, very, very difficult and trying circumstances through which the Muslim Ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam globally is passing through. Almost every day we are being bombarded by news of difficulty, hardship, persecution and great suffering which our brothers and sisters are experiencing. In fact, the analogy is given that if the stones and the rocks and even the mountains had eyes, they also would shed tears and start crying to see the situation of the ummah of the most beloved of Allah, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many, many opinions are being put forward. Many potential solutions, theories, ideologies are being put forward as to how to address the plight of the ummah. But the fact of the matter, my respected brothers, is we have to realize that any solution to any problem facing this ummah right up till Qiyamah that does not have its roots in Quran and Hadith and in that ta'aleem which was brought to us by Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any solution that is outside the purview of Quran and Hadith, instead of solving the problem or bringing about a cure for the malady and disease, will in fact lead to the problem being exacerbated and worsened. One of our elders, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatul Ali, very succinctly he said, Aaj ummat pareshani mein hai, aur is pareshani se nikalne ke liye aise raaste dhoond rahe aur istemal kar rahe, jisse pareshani barhta hai. That the ummat is in a plight and a problem today, and to come out of it is looking for solutions in avenues which will in fact increase its problem. The mamla and the affair of this ummat is with one Allah alone. What happens in this world, whether it be a nation or an ummat being given respect, dignity or honor, or whether it be the opposite, that they are stripped of these things and that they are humiliated and brought down, it has nothing to do with the systems and circumstances of this world, but it has to do solely and only with the decision of Allah. The mamla and affair of this ummah is with its Allah. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah, aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi. That person who has corrected his relationship with Allah, if this ummah is fulfilling what Allah wants from it, if this ummah has corrected his relationship with Allah, then aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi, then Allah will become sufficient for this ummah. Many places in the Quran, Allah says that I am sufficient for you. Kafa billahi nasira, kafa billahi hasiba, kafa billahi shahida, kafa billahi raqiba, kafa bihi bidhunubi ibadihi khabiran basira. Allah says, I am sufficient for you, sufficient as your helper, sufficient as your protector, sufficient as your overseer, sufficient as the one who will guide you, sufficient as your friend. And then Allah lovingly complains, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abada, O my slaves, am I not sufficient for you? Why are you looking elsewhere? We have to take the dependence, the reliance, the trust of entities besides Allah out of the heart and bring only Allah in this heart. Then, my respected brothers, if Allah is in this heart, open up the annals of history and show an example of a nation or an individual that found Allah and lost. Any nation or individual that found Allah succeeded in dunya, qabr and akhirat. And any nation that lost Allah, regardless of their worldly circumstances and what they had with them, and regardless of their wealth and their power and their might, any nation that lost Allah in dunya was unsuccessful, in qabr is already unsuccessful, and for eternity will be unsuccessful. Quran is full of incidents like this, of the nations of the past, in order to educate us and make us understand that our mamla, our affair, the solution to our problem only lies with Allah. This is not an ordinary ummah. This is that ummah, my respected brothers, where Allah Ta'ala says, Huwajtabakum. Allah chose you. This is the ummah which was selected by Allah. When Alim beautifully explains this analogy, what does it mean? Huwajtabakum, Allah chose you. There are no parables or comparisons with Allah. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There's no similitude with Allah. This is just for our understanding. He says, like you have, sometimes you go to the market, you want to buy tomatoes. There's a barrel full of tomatoes, you start looking. Which are the ones that you choose for yourself? Obviously, you'll choose the best ones. Those that have black marks on it or are too soft, you will leave it behind. So like that, they say, just for our understanding, that the souls of the entire humanity were in front of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala handpicked and selected certain souls. That this one for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one for the ummah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one for the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the entire humanity to come right up till Qiyamah. In Alami Arwah, every reciter of Kalima in the ummah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was chosen and selected by Allah. Being created in this ummah is not a coincidence. It's not a quirk of biology. It is selection by Allah. Try and appreciate and understand what this means, that my Allah selected me to be in this ummah. The ummah of Khatamun Nabiyyin, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why I am emphasizing this, my respected brothers, is that unfortunately, many of us don't realize the implication of this. One is to hear it in bayans, one is to hear it spoken, and the other is to identify with it. That I am not an ordinary person. I am not from the ummah of Nuh alayhi salam, or Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam. I am from the ummah of Khatamun Nabiyyin, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After my Nabi, there is no other Nabi to come. The legacy of my Nabi, the legacy of rahmat and mercy and hidayat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to permeate right up till Qiyamah. For other Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٍ. Every nation had one who came and made the effort of hidayat. Every nation of the past had one who came to warn them. But for this ummah and the Nabi of this ummah, Allah Ta'ala did not confine his nubuwwat to one nation, or one people, or one tribe, or one period of time. For the nubuwwat of this Nabi, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. O people, say unto them, O people, I am the Rasul of Allah, sent to each and every one of you. Blessed is that Zat and being who revealed the Furqan, the Quran, upon his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to become a warner, had to become a Nabi for every alam, to be included in the ummah of that Nabi, to make this nisbat and link that I am his ummati. Is that something ordinary? Is that something that will allow us thereafter, once we have identified and realized this, is that something that will allow us to say that now I am a businessman, or I am a farmer, or I am an agriculturer, or I am a college professor, or I am a university student? Am I not demeaning myself? Am I not disgracing myself? Am I not becoming a source of zulm and oppression to the entire alam? When the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fails to identify with the nisbat of khatme nubuwat, with the nisbat and the link and association that he is in the ummat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he fails to make the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the goal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the maqsad and object of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he fails to make that his, and he confines his effort and he confines his faculties and abilities towards chasing after this worthless, useless, valueless dunya, then my respected brothers, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, this individual has made zulm and oppression over the entire humanity. And the circumstances of the world today that have been turned against this ummah are a result of that very zulm and oppression that we have made on humanity. We were supposed to be a legacy of rahmat and mercy to humanity, as Janabi Rasulullah was a mercy to humanity. We were supposed to empty our pockets and empty our homes and undergo sacrifice and hardship and difficulty. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Sahaba underwent difficulty and hardship with the concern and the worry for the entire humanity, whether it be America, whether it be Europe, whether it be Asia, whether it be Africa, wherever an individual in this day and age resides in any corner of the globe. When we were included in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were supposed to get up in the dead of the night and cry for that person. When we were included in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our day was supposed to be spent with the concern that what can I sacrifice so that that individual becomes the beloved of Allah. Instead of that, what we have done, is like our elders say, "Hum bhul gaye aur ye bhi bhul gaye ke bhul gaye." We forgot who we are. We forgot that nisbat and link and association with Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We forgot the mantle and status which Allah gave us. We forgot that responsibility for which Allah sent, selected and chose us. And not only forgot, we forgot that we forgot. The attachment of this dunya and the love of this dunya and the pursuit of this dunya has collided with our minds and our hearts. Like sometimes when an accident takes place, a person suffers amnesia, he forgets. In the same way, the attachment of this dunya has collided with our minds and our hearts to such an extent that we have forgotten who we are and why Allah has sent us. We have become a living representation of that verse of the Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The apparent and the tangible and the visible entities of this world, they know intricacies of the stock market, even our youngsters know. What's going on in soccer tournament and cricket tournament 2-3 years in advance, an occasion where 22 people whose only concern is their pockets will be chasing behind a piece of pigskin that we have identified with. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But of our akhirat, of our maqsad, of why Allah Ta'ala has sent us, we have become ghafil. يَبْنَ آدَمْ خَلَقْتُ الْأَشْيَاءَ لِأَجْلِكَ وَخَلَقْتُكَ لِأَجْلِي فَلَا تَشْتَغِلْ بِمَا هُوَ لَكْ عَمَّنْ أَنْتَ لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala calls out, O Ibn Adam, O insan, O my banda, O my slave, I have created the things of this world for you. I have subjugated it for you. وَخَلَقْتُكَ لِأَجْلِي. But I have not created you for this dunya. خَلَقْتُكَ لِأَجْلِي. I have created you for me. فَلَا تَشْتَغِلْ بِمَا هُوَ لَكْ عَمَّنْ أَنْتَ لَهُ. So do not let the pursuit and the hankering and the effort behind that which was created for you involve you to such an extent that you become ghafil and negligent of that Allah for whom you were created. We were created to hand ourselves over to Allah. This is not an ordinary ummah. As we mentioned earlier, this is that ummah, my respected brothers. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi mentions the riwayat. Abu al-Bashar Adam alayhi salam says to Allah Ta'ala and mentions, Inna Allah Ta'ala a'ta ummata Muhammad arba'a karamat ma a'taniha. Allah Ta'ala blessed the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four things that I, Abu al-Bashar, the father of humanity, was deprived of. Try and appreciate what a status Allah gave this ummah. Inna qubula tawbati kana bi Makkah wa ummat Muhammad ya'suna fi kulli makan fayataqabbalu Allahu tawbatahum. He says, I made a mistake. Allah accepted my tawbah only in Makkah. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sins in the four corners of the globe and Allah still accepts their tawbah. Inni kuntu fil jannah falamma asayt فرق بيني وبين امراتي وامه محمد يعصون ولا يفرقون بينهم وبين ازواجهم. He says, I was in Jannah, I made a mistake, Allah separated me from my wife. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sins, but they are not separated from their spouses. Inni kuntu fil jannah falamma asayt ja'alani Allah uryanan وَأُمَّةُ مُحَمَّدْ يَعْصُونَ عُرَاتًا فَيُلْبِسُهُمُ اللَّهِ. He says, I was in Jannah, I made a mistake, Allah stripped me of the clothes of Jannah. They had to cover themselves using the trees of the using the leaves of the trees of Jannah. He says, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sins in a naked state, yet Allah still gives them clothes to wear. إني كنت في الجنة فلما عصيت أخرجني الله منها. He says, I was in Jannah, I made a mistake, Allah took me out of Jannah. وأمة محمد يعصون خارج الجنة فيدخلونها بالتوبة. The Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will sin outside Jannah and through their Tawbah Allah will put them into Jannah. Musa Kalimullah alayhi salam, his ummah, the Bani Israel, look at the resplendent manner in which Allah Ta'ala blessed them. 40 years in the desert, no source of livelihood, they were not required to earn. They were not required to make any effort for their sustenance. Man and salwa from Jannah was sent down for them in this world. When the sun would rise, they would be given cloud cover to protect them from the harsh rays of the sun. Having seen the resplendent manner in which Allah Ta'ala showered His bounty upon this ummah, Musa Kalimullah addresses Allah and he says, هل من الأمم أفضل عليك من أمتي ظللت عليهم الغمام وأنزلت عليهم المن والسلوى. Oh, may Allah tell me, is there any other ummah? Is there any other ummah more virtuous than this ummah? You gave them cloud cover. You sent down man and salwa from Jannah for them. Look at the reply which Allah gives him. Understand it in contemporary terms, in layman's language. If you ask someone, can you compare the Khaliq with the Makhluq? Can you compare Allah with His creation? Even an illiterate person, even a person of very minimal intelligence will tell you there is no grounds for comparison. How can you compare Allah with the makhluk? Allah Ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam, Ama alimta أن فضل أمة أحمد على سائر الأمم كفضلي على خلقي. O Musa, don't you know that just as I can never be compared with the makhluk, with my creation, in the same way, no other ummah can ever, ever compare with the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such an ummah, open the pages of Quran and look at the manner in which Allah raises this ummah. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادُ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. Verse upon verse in the Quran, Nusrat from Allah for this ummah. ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. Izzat, respect, dignity and honor from Allah for this ummah. Barakat and blessings of the heavens and the earth for this ummah. Vicegerency of this earth for this ummah. Promise upon promise from Allah for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, my respected brothers, turn your eyes away from the pages of Quran. Look away from the pages of hadith books. Look away from the annals of history. And look at the pitiable, miserable picture that this ummah today presents. One wonders, is this the same ummah that Quran is praising? Is this the same ummah that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned distinction upon distinction upon distinction for? Is this the same ummah Adam alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and other anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam lamented over? What has happened to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What has happened to the ummah of Khatme Nubuwat? What has happened to that ummah which, when it would raise his hands, Allah would change the system of the heavens and the earth? What has happened to the ummah which walked over water? What has happened to the ummah for whom fire was cooled? What has happened to the ummah of Badr? What has happened to the ummah of Hunain? What has happened to the ummah of Fatih Makkah? This is no ordinary ummah. What we have to understand, my respected brothers, is with distinction, with honor, with status, with selection from Allah comes responsibility and zimedari also. Allah chose you for what? For that same task, for that same mission, for that same worry, for that same responsibility, for which 124,000 Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam was sent to this world. That worry for which the skin of their bodies was separated from their flesh. That worry for which they underwent hunger. That worry for which Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam's bodies were cut into two. That worry, that concern for which Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam finished themselves. For that same worry and that same concern and that same responsibility, every male, female, adult, child, educated, uneducated, wealthy, pauper, in whichever part of the world of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was selected and chosen for. More than 1,000 years before this ummah could come into existence, Allah Ta'ala addresses Dawood alayhi salam, Ya Dawood, inni faddaltu ummata Muhammad ala al-umami kulliha, وَسَنَنْتُ عَلَيْهِمُ السُّنَنْ أَلَّتِي سَنَنْتُهَا عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَافْتَرَدْتُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْفَرَائِضِ أَلَّتِي افْتَرَدْتُهَا عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. O Dawood, I have given fazilat, I have given rank, I have given superiority to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over every other ummah. I made sunnat upon them, sunnat of anbiya. I made farz upon them, fariza of anbiya. Hatta ya'tuni yawm al-qiyamah wa nuruhum mithlu nuril anbiya. And O Dawood, if they will fulfill the responsibility, make the sunnat of anbiya their sunnat, make the fariza of anbiya their fariza, they will come to me, ordinary ummatis of this ummat, will come before Allah on the day of judgment, wa nuruhum mithlu nuril anbiya, and I will give them nur like the nur of the anbiya. Not an ordinary ummat. Yet, my respected brothers, when this ummat will turn its back on its responsibility, when it will fail to identify with the day of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the night of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the cry and the pain and the concern and the worry of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Quran openly warns. Allah calls out, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let them know. Let them know who will turn their backs on your way, O my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let them know if they will forsake your way of life. Then in this world, they will become a target of fitna, of trials, of tribulations, of persecution, of humiliation. And in the hereafter, if they still don't make tawbah, in the hereafter, they will face a terrible punishment. What was the day of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the night of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the cry? What was the pain of that Mubarak Nabi? This month of Rabiul Awal is a yearly reminder we are being given. We attend Seerah Jalsas. We hear the life history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We hear about his birth. We hear about his status, his nobility, his beauty, his perfection. Words cannot do justice to his description. But why don't we identify with his cry, with his pain, with his worry? No aspect of the life of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hidden from this ummah. Normally, if we look through the pages of history, the annals of history give preference to rulers, to warriors, to conquerors, to wealthy people. Very little mention is made of orphans, of those who are born in the desert. Genghis Khan is the greatest conqueror in the annals of human history, yet it is not known when he was born, what was his birth date, or where he was born. Yet, an orphan born in the desert, whose father predeceases him, every aspect of his birth recorded. Born, according to the Christian calendar, 22nd of April 571. According to popular opinion, Islamic calendar, 12th of Rabiul Awal. Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, the year when Abraha attempted to attack Baytullah. Father's name, Abdullah. Mother's name, Amina. This also not coincidence. Father's name, Abdullah. His inception occurred in the oven of Abdiyat. Mother's name, Amina. He was nurtured in the womb of Aman and peace. The midwife, Shifa, the mother of Abdurrahman bin Auf, who gave assistance in his birth. Her name was Shifa. That personality who was going to give shifa and cure the maladies of humanity was being born. Foster mother Halima, he drank milk from the breasts of Hilm and Akhlaq. Halima belonged to which tribe? Banu Saad. The perfection of Saadat and dignity was going to come into this world. Born in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, why not Ramadan? Why not Muharram? Why not the Ashur-e-Hurum? Why Rabi'ul Awwal? That also ulama explained. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not need a sacred month to be born. His zat and personality was sacred enough. He didn't need a month of barakat. He gave barakat. Born in the desert, he did not need vegetation. He was the vegetation. Born in a desert, he did not need water. He was the water. Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'. This word Rabi' means spring. After the dark winter of zulm and kufr and batil, after the dark winter of ignorance, the spring of nur, of hidayat, of life, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come. Every aspect of his existence recorded to minute details of his appearance. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how beautifully he describes Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he says, وَأَحْسَنَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبِي كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. He says, more magnificent than you my eyes have never seen. More beautiful than you no woman has ever given birth to a child. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبِي. You have been created free from every blemish. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. It appears to me, O my beloved Nabi, it appears to me as if you told Allah how to create you, and on your desires Allah created you. Such a Nabi. Minute details of his appearance, Sahaba describe, Azimul Hama. His face was moderately large. لم يكن بالمطهم ولا بالمكلثم وكان في وجهه تدوير. He didn't have a completely round face, nor an elongated face, but it was between the two. واسي الجبين. His forehead was broad. أنور المتجرد. His appearance was luminous, shining. There was a tinge of redness in it. أَزَجُّ الْحَوَاجِبْ سَوَابِغْ فِي غَيْرِ قَرْنْ بَيْنَهُمَا عِرْقٌ يُدِرُّهُ الْغَضَبْ. His eyebrows, the hair were thin, it was dense, it would not meet in the middle. In the middle there was a gap in which a vein would run. When he would become angry, it would become apparent. أَهْدَبُ الْأَشْفَارِ. His eyelashes were long. أَشْكَلُ الْعَيْنِ. The pupils of his eyes were very black. In the whiteness, there were thin red veins that would run. أَقْنَ الْعِرْنِينَ لَهُ نُورٌ يَعْلُوهُ يَحْسَبُهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَأَمَّلْهُ أَشَمْ. His nose was slightly elongated and pointed. Behind it there was a noor, a luster, a light. Someone who was not looking carefully because of the light would think that the nose was large, but the nose was not large. ذَلِيعُ الْفَمْ. His mouth was generous. مُفَلَّجُ الْأَسْنَانِ بَرَّاقُ الثَّنَايَا. His teeth were thin and long. Between the teeth there was a gap from which a light would shine. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَأَنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي فِي وَجِهِ وَإِذَا ضَحِكَ يَتَلَأْلَوْ فِي الْجُدُرِ. He says, I have never seen anything more magnificent than Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was as if the sun would shine from his face, and when he would smile, a light would shine onto the wall. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "Kuntu akhitu fi sahar." One day I was sewing. It was dusk, twilight. There wasn't much light. Fasaqatat al-ibra. My needle fell down. I couldn't find it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the hujra. He smiled at me. When he smiled, a light shone out from between his teeth, as a result of which I saw my needle. I related to him what had happened. He said, "Ya Humaira, al-wail, thumma al-wail, liman hurima an-nadhru ila wajhi." That, "Oh Humaira," which was an affectionate term he would use to address Aisha, "what greater halakat, what greater loss can there be than the loss of that person who is deprived of being able to look at my noble countenance on the day of judgment?" Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, "Man ra'ahu badihatan habahu, wa man khalatahu ma'rifatan ahabbahu, yaqulu na'ituhu lam ara qablahu wala ba'dahu mithlahu." That anyone who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of a sudden would be overawed. When he would intermingle with him, automatically he would love him. And the one who described him would say, "Lam ara qablahu wala ba'dahu mithlahu." Before this and after this, I have never seen anything more magnificent than Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can go on, time is limited. Such a Nabi. Iqra, the first five verses of the Quran come down. Thereafter, the first revelation to be revealed upon Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he is being commanded, and through him the entire ummah is being commanded, "I have made you my Nabi. What is your mission? What is your day? What is your night?" Two surahs come down. Surah Muddathir, Surah Muzzammil. Allah affectionately addressed him. In one riwayat it comes, he was lying with a chadar over him. So Allah calls out, "Ya ayyuhal Muddathir." O my Nabi, who covers himself in a cloth. What does Allah want from you? What is your job? What is your day? What is your night? "Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum." Qum fa'anzir. Stand up now. Stand up now. Look at the analogy of Quran. Ulama explain, what does this expression tell us? Humanity is steeped in darkness. Baytullah, 360 idols. Insaniyat blindly is treading towards Jahannam. The imagery that this expression enlivens in us, for those who understand Arabic, is of an emergency. There is an emergency. And in time of emergency, the normal rules are broken. All stops are pulled out. You won't find the fire engine stopping at the red light. You won't find the ambulance stopping at the red light. Why? It is an emergency. One is when there's a flutter in the heart, then I'll go and visit the doctor. The other is heart attack. Heart attack. Proceed immediately. Insaniyat is in darkness. 1400 years ago, today, put the clock forward. Put the clock forward. 95% of the ummah, of the believing ummah, azan is falling on deaf ears. Mothers are crying in the homes. No one to respect or honor them. Those under whose feet is Jannat, they are being desecrated and are being insulted openly. Fathers who are the doors to Jannat, concerning whom Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hum awsatu abwabil Jannah." They are the most conducive door to your Jannat. Protect it if you want. Destroy it if you want. Those whose mental is such, they are being caught by their collars, by their own offspring, who are saying to them, "What have you ever done for me?" Justice is being sold in the courts. Treachery, lies, riba, interest, deceit has become the order of the day in the bazaars. Shamelessness, immodesty, extravagance has become the picture and the resemblance of every home where women are parading openly in public. It is an emergency. The orchards are on fire. The asar and the signs of the ghadab and the anger of Allah are apparent in every direction. 5 billion insan, if they die today, are going to Jahannam forever and ever. There is an emergency. Go back 1400 years ago. Quran gives the marham. Quran gives the prescription. Quran gives the cure. Quran gives the medicine. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. O my Nabi, who has covered himself in a cloth. Qum. There is an emergency. Stand up now. What must you do? Fa'anzir. Allah doesn't say thumma anzir. Here also we don't have time. Those who understand Arabic, thumma means there's a pause. Oh my Nabi, get up, dress yourself, prepare yourself, now go out. Allah doesn't say that. Look at the analogy of Quran, look elsewhere. Qiyamah is near. Allah says, innahum yarawnahu ba'ida, wa narahu qareeba. You see Qiyamah far away, we see it very near. So when Allah speaks of Qiyamah, fa'idha nuqira fin naqur. The trumpet is blown. Allah uses the word fa. It is right on you. Here also, not thumma anzir, fa anzir. This fa creates an imagery of emergency. Oh my Nabi, who covers himself in a cloth, stand up now. Fa anzir, warn them, call them, invite them. How must you call them? How must you invite them? How must you warn them? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. O my Nabi, stand up now. Warn them. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Tell them of the greatness of Allah. Tell them of the kiriyah of Allah. Tell them of the jalal of Allah. Tell them of the azmat of Allah. Break down the allegiance, the trust, the reliance of every other entity and introduce them to the greatness of your Allah. That the doer is Allah, the maker is Allah, the breaker is Allah, the controller is Allah. In the heavens, in the earth, no one is going to solve your problems besides Allah. No one is going to help you besides Allah. No one is going to give you respect, dignity or honor besides Allah. No one is going to give you food to eat besides Allah. The air you are breathing is coming from Allah. The food you are eating is coming from Allah. The ability to swallow it is from Allah. The ability for your system to digest it is from Allah. Wars are not fought without the permission of Allah. Peace can never be found without the permission of Allah. Rains will not fall without the permission of Allah. Crops will not grow without the permission of Allah. Trees will not grow without the permission of Allah. Leaves will not turn into fruit without the permission of Allah. The fruit will never ripen without the permission of Allah. Sweetness will not come into those fruit without the permission of Allah. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Go town to town, person to person, individual to individual. May Allah fill the qabr of Rib'i bin Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with noor. That solitary single sahabi walks in the court of Rustam, over the red carpet of Rustam, in his hand his broken sword, behind him pulling a donkey, flanked on either side by the sentries of Rustam, fearlessly dragging his sword so that the plush carpet of Rustam is being rent as he proceeds. He walks right up to Rustam, and then till Qiyamah, Sahaba understood the cry of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They understood his day. They understood his night. Till Qiyamah, he outlines it for this ummah that, O Rustam, ma ji'na ilaykum. We haven't come to you. We did not want to leave Medina. We did not want to leave our wives and our children. We don't desire your land. We don't desire your kingdoms. We don't want your dunya. Ma ji'na ilaykum. It is no worldly purpose that has motivated us. We haven't come. Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum. Allah has sent us to you. نحن مبعوثون من الله. We have been sent by Allah, selected by Allah, chosen by Allah. For what? What is the job of this ummah? May Allah fill his qabr with nur. No doubt remains. What is this ummah? What have we been sent for? لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعتها ومن جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. O Rustam, we have been sent. Allah sent us for what? To take this entire humanity, to take the 6 billion insan that is immersed in masiyat, that is immersed in the slavery of this dunya, to take them out of the slavery of the created entities. لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد. Of the worship of wealth, that wealth is doing, dollars are doing, pounds are doing, governments are doing, science is doing, technology is doing, armies are doing. To take them out of this deception and introduce them to the slavery and the worship of one Allah. That in the heavens, in the earth, whether it is the ant, whether it is Jibreel, whether it is a grain of sand, whether it is a mountain, whether it is the wind from this fan, or whether it is a tornado or a hurricane, whether it is the comets, whether it is the asteroids, whether it is a bomb, every entity which on which the word makhluk is sadiq, which falls under the banner makhluk, created entity, any created entity, whether it is the roaring lion, the slithering snake, the moving tornado, the exploding bomb, move upwards, whether it is the sun, the moon, the stars, the comets, the asteroids, far se lekar, arsh tak, from the earth to the arsh of Allah, this ummah was sent, selected, chosen, go person to person, town to town, village to village, locality to locality, and tell one person, from the earth to the arsh of Allah, the entire makhluk, the entire creation, لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. Every created entity cannot benefit you, cannot harm you, has no decision over life or death or resurrection. One Allah is Malik. One Allah is controller. One Allah is maker. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashira wa nadira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idnihi wa sirajan munira. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have sent you as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, as a warner, wa da'iyan ila Allah, wa da'iyan ila Allah. Da'wat ila Allah is your maqsad. You were sent as a caller to Allah, as an inviter to Allah. Look at the beautiful manner in which Quran explains. Look at the beautiful manner in which Quran explains. Arabic word husn means beautiful. Ahsan means most beautiful, best, highest. Allah, when he speaks of himself, Fatabarakallah Ahsanul Khaliqeen. Your Allah is Ahsan, the best creator. Allah is Ahsan, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The color of Allah, the mold of Allah is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Waman Ahsanu min Allahi Sibgha. Come in that mold. Allah is Ahsan. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Ahsan. Allahu Nazzala Ahsan al-Hadithi. Quran is Ahsan.